Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're in the 15th installment of Tafsir of Jews Amma. We're in Surah Al-Balad, which is the 90th surah, and the 89th surah, which is Surah Al-Fajr. And we'll be starting on page 117 in Sidi's book, reciting the Fatiha, and then reciting Surah Al-Balad, and then we'll begin what Sidi writes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حيد بهذا البلد ووالدي وما لد لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد أيحسب أن لن يقدر عليه أحد يقول أخلقت مالا لبد لبد أيحسب أن لم يره أحد ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين وهديناه النجدين فلا اقتحم العقبة وما أدراك ما العقبة فكوا ركبا أو إتمام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا مضربة ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة عليهم نار مؤصدة. صدق الله العظيم. This surah Balad was revealed in Mecca and consists of 20 verses. The reason for its revelation in this place of the Quran is that when Allah sealed the previous surah with the mention of the tranquil spirit, He mentioned here that this spirit has no rest until it meets its Lord. Indeed, it's in a state of toil as long as it is in this world. So Allah says in the surah, La uqsimu bihadar balad, I do swear by this land. He swore and called witness the inviolable land, which is the holy land that the messenger resided in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the highest horizon and the holy valley. وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, and you are free in this land. You're unrestricted and you do as you will, without being limited or confined in the qualities of the lower self and its habits. Wa walidin wa ma walad, and the parent and the offspring, meaning the Holy Spirit, which is the true father of human souls, as Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salam, said, I'm going to my heavenly father and your father. And be like your heavenly father and the soul he created, meaning like the Holy Spirit and the rational speaking soul. Laqad khalaqnal insana fi kabad. We created the human into a life of toil and hardship. We created the human into a life of hard toil and trial from his self and its capricious incitements. Or it could refer to internal sickness and corruption of the heart and coarseness of the veil. Because the kabad is the coarseness and roughness of the liver, kabid, which is the origin of the natural strength of the body, which subsequently becomes corrupted when it becomes thick and coarse. So it was used as a symbol for the coarse thickness of the heart's veil and its subsequent corruption under the veil and sickness. Ayahsabu alan yakdira alayhi ahad yakulu akhlaqtu malal lubad. Does he imagine that no one has power over him? He says, I have spent abundant wealth. He is referring to the one with a coarse veil and a sick heart caused by being heavily veiled and immersed in lower corporeal nature, by amassing much wealth and spending it for ostentation and competitive show. As the Arabs say, Khasirat alayhi qalda. He has lost and become depraved, morally corrupted. When someone spends extravagantly to be superior over the people and thinks it's something because he is ignorant and barred from any virtue. Ayah sabu alam yarahu ahad. Does he imagine that no one sees him? Does he think Allah does not hold what is within him and his intentions when he spends his wealth in ostentation and vain show instead of out of a desire to please Allah? It is filth upon filth. So how can it ever be considered a noble thing? Alam najallahu ainain walisaya wa shafatain. Did we not provide him with two eyes and a tongue and a pair of lips? Did we not bless him with bodily organs by which he can acquire perfection, so that he can see what he beholds and ask what he has no knowledge of and speak of it? Wa hadainahu najdain, and shown him the two highways, which means the two broad ways of good and evil. Falak tahamul akaba ma ma adraka wal mal akaba. But he would not ascend the steep uphill road, and what will make you comprehend what this uphill road is? Meaning the steep hill of the ego self, the nafs, and its desires that veil the heart, through discipline and vigorous striving. And what is this uphill, steep road? Faku arakaba. It's the freeing of one's neck from bondage. Meaning it is to free the neck of the heart from bondage under the yoke of the ego's desires, by divesting oneself of and of totally turning away from the lower corporeal nature, tabia, and its leanings and habits. If it is not completely freed through the practice of spiritual acts of discipline, riyad, and subjugation of the lower self, then it will be through acquiring the graceful virtues and remaining assiduous in walking the path until what is forced becomes natural. This practice is given more detail in the following words of Allah. Al it amun fi yamin di masraba, yati man dha makaraba, al miskinan dha matraba, athumma kana min aladina amanu wa tastawasau bi sabar sabri, atawasau bi marhama. Or the feeding upon a day of one's hunger, of an orphan near of kin, or a needy stranger lying in the dust, then being of those who have attained to secure faith, and who enjoin upon one another perseverance and mutual compassion. Feeding others, especially when you yourself are in great hunger and need of the food, is one of the noble virtues of the uphill road. Nay, actually, its noblest virtue. And secured faith, iman, is a virtue of wisdom. And its noblest and greatest type is the iman of knowledge and certitude. And perseverance in the face of hardships is the greatest kind of courage. He kept its mention after iman because courage is not acquired without first acquiring certitude. And mutual mercy and compassion is the noblest kind of justice. So consider how he divided the four types of virtue: integrity, wisdom, courage, and justice, by which the self reaches its perfection. So he began with the virtuous continence, ifa, which is the first of the four virtues, and he expressed it using its choicest manifestation and quality, namely altruistic generosity. Then he mentioned iman, secure faith, which is the origin and foundation, and used the word thumma, then, because of its secondary position relative to the first virtue. He used it to describe and express wisdom due to its being the mother of the rest of its degrees and types. Then he mentioned perseverance afterwards, because it's not possible without the certitude of iman. And finally he mentioned the last one, justice, and sufficed with the mention of mercy in the description of justice, from having to mention its other types. Just as he sufficed with the mention of perseverance in describing the virtue of courage, and it is the quality of the universally merciful Ar-Rahman. Ulaik ashabul ma'imana. These are the people of the right, meaning those who are qualified with these virtues are the happy ones, the companions of the right, inhabitants of the world of holiness. Waladina kafaru biayatina. And whereas those who are bent on denying the truth of our messages, meaning they were veiled from these qualities, which are the signs of Allah by which His essence is recognized, hum ashabun mash'ama, they are the people of the left, meaning of evil and the inhabitants of the world of filth. Alayhim narum musada, with fire closing in upon them. The fire of lower corporeal nature, tabia, and the secondary traces, as in creation, athar, surrounds them from all sides, with its doors locked shut, and they are imprisoned in it, prevented from any ease forever. And the real Al-Haq Most High says, he did not climb the steep uphill path, meaning he did not enter into toil and striving. And Aqaba refers to all that burdens the ego self, such as righteous acts of devotion. Then he magnified its affair when he said, and what will make you comprehend what the steep uphill path is, which the human is commanded to climb and ascend? Then he said, the freeing of a neck from bondage. It, the steep uphill path, is the freeing of a slave from bondage, or helping to free one. or feeding another when one is in hunger and want, starting with the relatives, and so on to other than them, or a needy person in the dust, when his severe poverty, he licks the dust for nourishment. Then he was one of those who attained to secured belief, secured faith, meaning he continued in his belief, and then when he came forward to act according to it, he benefited from his faith being consolidated. For faith precedes action, and no action is sound without it. And he enjoined perseverance from disobedience and continuing in obedience, and being patient in whatever is befitting for the believer to be patient in. And he enjoined mutual compassion between them. And these are the people of the right hand, referring to those who are qualified by the above qualities. And those who reject our signs, our ayat, meaning the people of rebellion, there will surround them a fire from all sides, and its doors will be locked by their sins. And know, my beloved, that the murid must ascend the steep uphill road, which is the Sufi path, by breaking the habits of the lower ego self and abandoning its desires and forsaking it for what it despises. It was related that Hassan, radiallahu anhu, said, "The intensely steep path is to free oneself from sins and shameful qualities, and from slavery to covetousness of the creation. For coveting the creatures is the seed of the tree of humiliation. Or freeing it from the prison of the worlds to the open space of witnessing of the Creator. Or freeing the neck of the heedless and the ignorant. One, through admonishing him and reminding him or causing him to repent of his offenses. Or feeding the spirit hungry for certitude, it being either an orphan with no spiritual father, as in no sheikh, by teaching him what would strengthen his state. Or feeding the spirit of one lacking the secrets of divine unity, so you foster him and raise him to the heaven of secrets. And such a one then believes in the path of the elect and enjoins others to perseverance and compassion and unity, which is the work of the people of spiritual affiliation and kinship. These are the people of grace, yum, and blessing. And their opposites among those who deny the path of the elect and its people are the people of evil and stubborn rejection. We ask Allah to safeguard us from being cut off. Amen." Surah Al-Fajr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Fajr. Walayalin ashar. والشافعي والواتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي هجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق لق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر في الواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فسب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي كراما. وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن. كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تهادون ألا طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث كلما وتحبون المال حبا جما. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملاك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان إنسان وأنى له ذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. ويومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة أهرجي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في بدي وادخلي جنتي. Surah was revealed in Makkah and consists of 30 verses, and the reason for its placement here is because the last verse of the previous surah, which says, "Indeed to us is their return," is confirmed by his swearing by the dawn, Fajr, in the beginning of the surah. Walayalin Ashr, and I swear and call to witness the 10 nights. This either refers to the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, or the first 10 of Muharram, or the last 10 of Ramadan. Washafir Watr, and the even and the odd, or the multiple and the one, referring to either the even-numbered and odd-numbered nights mentioned in the previous verse, or even and odd ritual prayers, Salat, or the day of sacrifice in the pilgrimage, because it's the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, while Arafat is the 9th. Or it could refer to the creation, multiple, and the creator, one. Or to numbers in general, for numbers can be divided into even and odd. I myself say that Allah swore by everything in this verse, for there is nothing except it being either even a pair or odd, a unit. And when he swore by the special nights, he then went on to swear by the nights in general when he said, Walayli idha al-yasr, and by the night as it passes on its course. It is said this also refers to the night of power, destiny of Qadr. Hal fi dhalika al-qasamun, is there not in this a more solemn affirmation? Meaning, in these things which I have sworn by, is there not in them a solemn, convincing evidence of the truth of the existence and oneness of Allah? Whoever has an intellect can grasp that when Allah swears by these things, then they must contain extraordinary realities and indications of divine lordship and oneness. So they are the most deserving that he swear by them. And in this he magnifies the rank of those objects sworn by. explaining to us how immense they are and worthy of being sworn by because of the meaning in them. And this is similar to when he says in 5676, and it is an oath that is immense, would you but know. Lid the hijr, for those who possess an intellect. The intellect, aql, was called hijr here because it restricts, hajr, its possessor from being immersed in what is of no benefit or merit, just as it is called aql because it ties down, aql, its possessor, and restricts him from contemptible and vile things. And the meaning here is it proper that those possessed of sound intellects do not grasp the immensity of what these things point to when they are sworn by? Or in swearing by these things, do those possessing intellects realize the solemnity of what is sworn by? And Allah also informs us in swearing by these things that, O you who stubbornly reject the truth, you will assuredly be destroyed and then will be taken to exacting account. And this is evident in the following verses of the surah. Alam tara kaifa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Do you not consider the manner in which your Lord treated the tribe of Ad? He's calling to witness the knowledge that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has of the tribe of Ad, and what happened to them, and those like them among the polytheistic idolaters. So Allah is asking, do you not have certain knowledge of how your Lord punished Ad and their like, and that he will similarly punish these because of their rejection and disobedience? And Ad refers to the people of the Prophet Hud, alayhi salam, to whom Allah sent as a punishment a violent wind which demolished their homes and buried them under the earth, with their homes having collapsed on them because of their oppression and rejection of the message and corruption on the earth. Iramadatil imad alatilam yuhlaq. The people of Iram, of many lofty pillars, the like of whom has never been created in the lands. Iram was the capital city of the tribe of Ad, and its like was never created in all the world, nor greater than it, nor like its people. For the people of Ad were super strong. One man among them could lift a boulder and throw it on a small neighborhood, which would crush it. And the height of one of them would be 400 cubits. But with all its glory and might, it was crushed and destroyed because of their oppression and because of their corruption and transgression of the divinely revealed commands and limits and abandoning humanistic principles. Wa thamud ladina jabu sahra bilwad. And the tribe of Thamud who hollowed out rocks in the valley. They were the first to carve out mountains and boulders and build large and multiple cities. And Pharaoh of the many tent poles, it was they who transgressed the divine bounds all over their lands and brought about great corruption therein. That's how we dealt with them and crashed down the punishment upon them, just as Pharaoh would deal unjustly with his subjects without any due cause. We destroyed him and those with him because of what his hands wrought and because of his rebellion against Allah and spreading corruption. Fasabba alayhim rabbuka salta adaba. And therefore your Lord let loose upon them a scourge of suffering. Allah caused to descend upon them a severe torment and grievous punishment whose end they could not grasp or reach, having all been wiped out. And in the hereafter they will suffer the greatest punishment perpetually. And this is the state and fate of every oppressive, unjust one in this world and the next. And know, my beloved, that Allah swore by the dawn of the morning of spiritual perfection, Ihsan, and the fullness of the moon of the light of secure faith, Iman, on the night of the tenth and the odd one, for the total removal of all obstacles before the one who wholeheartedly faces him with truthfulness and sincerity. Do you not see how your Lord dealt with the ego self that incites to evil, which resembles Ad and Iram of the many lofty pillars in support of oppression, the like of which were never created in the lands of separation? For it, the ego self which commands to evil is uglier than 70 devils. And Thamud refers to that carnal strength which carves out and forms the rocks of the base desires of the dense body. And Pharaoh refers to the power of anger and wrath and the types of his affliction. So they wrought much corruption in the city of the heart, the city of love, in which there should be nothing except love and mercy and peace. Instead, they corrupted it. And so Allah unleashed upon those he desired to befriend to himself a scourge of torture through the various acts of spiritual striving and discipline. That is, if he had a complete preparedness and divine courtesy, so that he would return to him and renew his solemn oath with Allah to be of the utterly truthful, then Allah would rectify his actions, substitute his bad deeds for good deeds. Then Allah mentioned his watchfulness over his servants. So he said, Inna rabbaka labir mursad. Indeed, your Lord is ever on the watch. Allah hears and sees, with no one conveying to him any information and nothing escaping his perception. He watches the one who is heedless of him as he dives into the love of this lower world with full attention, as he says, Fa'ammal insanu. As for that human, the heedless one, he is not concerned that his Lord is watching him. His sight and thoughts are solely directed in avidly craving this world and its short-lived pleasures. Idma talahu rabuhu fa'akramahu wana'amahu. When his Lord tries him with his generosity and by letting him enjoy a life of ease. So the source of trial is in generosity and being granted ease. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. He says, my Lord has been justly generous to me. So he says, he chose me especially with what he granted to me, such as prestige and wealth, for I am deserving of it. But it does not occur to him that he gave to him to test him. But it does not occur to him that Allah gave to him to test him, would he be grateful or ungrateful? So the heedless human says that his Lord is generous with him during the time of trial and testing with favors. And this is explained in the way he worded the verse. Wa'amma idha mabtalahu faqadra alayhi rizqahu faqakulu rabbil adanan. Whereas whenever he tries him by tightening his provision, he says, my Lord has disgraced me. It does not concur to him that Allah is only testing him. And will he be patient or become unsettled and anxious and lose faith? For in reality, there's no disgrace here. Indeed, deprivation can oftentimes lead to a great blessing in both worlds and an eventual increase. So it is obligatory on whoever understands that his Lord is on the watch, that he work for the hereafter and not preoccupy himself with this lower evanescent world, and he should turn to what Allah commanded him concerning it and to the message of truth that the human was created for. So his Lord could try him with blessing to test his gratitude. And he says, my Lord favored me above others because of what he gave me. And he could try him by straightening his means of livelihood to test his patience. And he says, my Lord has disgraced me. So he sees humiliation and disgrace in having a small portion of this world because nothing is of importance or concern to him, save his life in this lower world, which is all he aims for. So he nullified the grant that was given to him when he claimed that he deserved it of his own merit. Like the saying of the Quran 28:78, it was given to me because of my knowledge. And Allah rebuked him and responded with an emphatic no, kala. For the reality is that exaltation and humiliation does not lie in how much or how little of this world you are given, but rather exaltation lies in divinely granted success, in obedience, and humiliation lies in abandonment to oneself. And the word kala is an emphatic deterrent for the human to abstain from his vain speech here and to deny the truth in his false claims in both the scenarios above. He did not give him wealth because of his honor, nor did he give him poverty because of his vileness. But it is rather divine decree and destiny. And his words, Kala, balta tukrimuna latim, wala tuhaduna ala ta'mi miskin. No, you are not generous toward the orphan, nor do you urge one another to feed the needy. He moves from exposing their evil speech to their evil actions. Moving back to direct divine speech serves as a rebuke and wake-up call, and goes further in showing your falling headstrong and avaricious greed of wealth. For when Allah grants you wealth, you do not share it with the orphans who have a right over a part of that wealth, and which your Lord has ordered you to pay. وَتَأْكُلُونَ تُرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَّمًّا وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. And you devour the inheritance of others with a consuming greed, and you love wealth with boundless love. You would devour both licit and illicit wealth, for they would not give in inheritance to the women or children or orphans, and would hoard all the wealth without giving any of it to their proper recipients and owners, and do so knowingly and willingly, and they would know that it is forbidden and unlawful, and they were consumed with love of wealth, and so consumed the wealth of others and denied others their right. And know, my beloved, that your Lord is ever in the place of watching, looking at the secrets of the servants, knowing who comes to him and who turns away from him. Then he tries them with severe majesty, jalal, and gentle beauty, jamal. So if the human is tried by his Lord, who apparently gives to him ease and favors, then he will claim that he received them because he deserved them, and so becomes haughty and arrogant. And if he is tried by his Lord, who restricts his provision, he claims that his Lord is humiliating him, and so he becomes hopeless and depressed and angry, and he says, Kalla, no, to rebuke them and correct their beliefs and actions, so they may understand that it is all a trial from the real, the al-haq, to them. So whoever is grateful for the blessings and feeds the needy and the poor and the orphan and the widow, then he is among the righteous. And if he does not do that, then he is among the wicked. And whoever is patient with poverty and content with whatever Allah gives him and is happy with that, then he is of the intimate friends of Allah, al-awliya. And whoever is unlike that, then he is among the people of distance and separation. Understand that he sometimes deprives you in the giving and sometimes gives to you in the deprivation. And then the real Most High censored the ego-inspired animalistic stinginess and love of vanishing wealth because it is the action of those who dive completely into heedlessness. And then he threatened them with the horrors of the day of resurrection. And so he said, Idha dukatil ardu dakandaka, when the earth is crushed with crushing upon crushing, meaning when it shakes violently until it becomes scattered dust, Vajarabuka, and your Lord comes. When the majesty of your Lord is revealed and he begins the final judgment between his servants. Varamalakur Safan Safa, and the angels in rank upon rank, the angels of every heaven descend and line up in rank upon rank, encircling the humans and the jinn. And on that day, hell will be brought within sight. It comes forth out into the open for its denizens. It was related in the hadith, on that day, hell will be brought forth, and it will have 70,000 reins, with each rein being pulled by 70,000 angels, until it rests to the left of the divine throne of authority, Arsh. And it will have a terrifying sound and exhaust. Yaumli the Dahakaru Insanu. And on that day the human will remember all that he did and failed to do. The human will take a lesson from what he sees with his very eyes, when the earth will be scattered and judgment shall be enacted between people. And in that moment the human will vividly remember what he earned when he sees the recompense for his actions. But what will that remembrance avail him? How can it avail him when the earth is no more? He will say, "Oh, would that I had provided beforehand for my life to come. Would that I had performed righteous actions in my previous life in the world for the sake of this abiding life hereafter now." For none can punish like his punishment on that day. No one will punish on behalf of Allah, because the whole command and affair will be solely in his hands on that day. وَلَا يُثِقُ وَثَقَهُ أَحَدٌ, nor can anyone bind like his binding. No one can punish like the punishment of Allah, which he will mete out to the disobedient, to the oppressors, the corruptors, the transgressors, and those who disregard what Allah orders of mercy and love and justice for the poor and oppressed. And this is because of their persistence in sinful disobedience and rejection of the truth, and foregoing the causes of their felicity in this life and the next. Whereas, if the human repents and obeys Allah in his commandments, then Allah will say to this obedient believer who is courteous with Allah and all of his creations, Ya ayatuha nafsul mutmainna, O tranquil soul. Allah will honor it by speaking to it directly with no intermediary. It is in deep tranquility in the being of Allah and in invoking him, and in contemplative witnessing shuhid of him, which leads him to pure certitude, yakin, unmixed with any doubt or illusion or fear or grief. And this call is given to it in its death, in its resurrection, and in the completion of the account. Irji la rabbiki radiyatam mardiya. Return to your Lord pleased and well-pleasing. Return to his gracious promise for you, well-pleased with the perpetual bliss he grants you and well-pleasing to him. Fadakhuli fi ibadi. So be admitted with my servants. Enter into the presence of my choicest servants, the righteous, sincere ones who have arrived, and be with them joyous at what Allah and his bounty granted them. And it will be said to them, "Peace be upon you, you have found blissful delight, so enter into it to abide forever." Wadkhuli jannati, and be admitted into my garden. Enter with my select servants, in whom I am well pleased, into the garden of Gnosis, which never passes away and is constantly abiding. Be among those Allah has blessed, among the prophets, the utterly truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous, and how excellent a companionship are they. And know, my beloved, when the earth of sense, peace, is crushed by the dominance of meaning, mana, over it, or when the earth of human corporeality is crushed by the dominance of spirituality over it, with a crushing following crushing in degrees until it reaches confirmation in the secrets of spiritual meanings, and when your Lord comes in manifestation and on that day causes the fire of distance to appear for the people of separation, Farak, then will the human realize and remember how much he missed of striving and companionship with the people of gatheredness. And how will that remembrance benefit him when he spent his life in separation, drowning in other than him? And he will say in regret, oh, would that I had provided for the life of my spirit by witnessing mushahada after striving mujahada. So on that day will the real al-Haq take charge in dealing with his servants with his power, so he will draw near to hell with the chains of attachments and preoccupations, and drive them with the reins of separation. Then he will call the sanctified spirits of those brought near to him and say, O tranquil souls. They become tranquil in witnessing the real, and because their annihilation, fana, and subsistence, baka, are perpetually in Allah, return to your Lord, to the witnessing of your Lord, after his veils have been lifted, pleased with Allah in his manifestations of severity al-Jalal, gentleness al-Jamal, and well pleased before him in the presence of perfection, Kamal. And the mark of deep tranquility is that its possessor does not shake under the severe hardships and the onslaughts of terrors. For whoever has his hand firmly in the hand of the king, such a one is without concern with whoever comes to him with threats. And know that the tranquil soul is that same one which emanated from the light of his original speech to it, when he brought it to being from nothingness by the light of eternity. And so it became deeply tranquil with the real and his speech and being connected in his presence, and it's well pleased with Allah, having gained pleasure from him and having been eternally chosen with him. We ask him, Most High, that he bless us all by causing us to not see anything but Allah, and not be with any but Allah and by Allah, and Allah is the one whose help is sought, and he is the grantor of success. Amin, 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 amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.